Chapter 20. Vaughn finished her water, and Reacher finished his coffee and asked, "Can I borrow your truck?"
"When?"
"Now, while you sleep." Vaughn said,
"No."
"Why not?"
"You'll use it to go back to despair. You'll get arrested, and I'll be implicated."
"Suppose I don't go back to despair."
"Where else would you want to go?"
"I want to see what lies to the west. The dead guy must have come in that way. I'm guessing he didn't come through Hope. You would have seen him and remembered him. Likewise with the girl's missing husband."
"Good point. But there's not much west of despair. A lot of not much, in fact."
"Got to be something." Vaughn was quiet for a moment. Then she said,
"It's a long loop around. You have to go back practically all the way to Kansas."
"I'll pay for the gas."
"Promise me you'll stay out of despair."
"Where's the line?"
5 miles west of the metal plant."
"Deal." Vaughn sighed and slid her keys across the table.
"Go."
"I'll walk home. I don't want you to see where I live."
The old Chevy's seat didn't go very far back. The runners were short. Reacher ended up driving with his back straight and his knees splayed, like he was at the wheel of a farm tractor. The steering was vague, and the brakes were soft. But it was better than walking. Much better, in fact. Reacher was done with walking, for a day or two at least. His first stop was his motel in Hope. His room was at the end of the row, which put Lucy Anderson in a room closer to the office. She couldn't be anywhere else. He hadn't seen any other overnight accommodation in town, and she wasn't staying with friends because they would have been with her in the diner the night before, in her hour of need. The motel had its main windows all in back. The front of the row had a repeating sequence of doors and lawn chairs and head-high, pebbled glass slits that put daylight into the bathrooms. Reacher started with the room next to his own and walked down the row, looking for the white blur of underwear drying over a tub. In his experience, women of Lucy Anderson's station and generation were very particular about personal hygiene. The 12 rooms yielded 2 possibilities. One had a larger blur than the other. Not necessarily more underwear, just bigger underwear. An older or a larger woman. Reacher knocked at the other door and stepped back and waited. A long moment later, Lucy Anderson opened up and stood in the inside shadows, warily, with one hand on the handle. Reacher said,
"Hello, Lucky."
"What do you want?"
"I want to know why your husband went to despair and how he got there." She was wearing the same sneakers and the same kind of abbreviated socks. Above them was a long expanse of leg. Smooth and toned and tanned to perfection. Maybe she played soccer for UCLA. Maybe she was a varsity star. Above the expanse of leg was a pair of cut-off denims, frayed higher on the outside of her thighs than the inside, which was to say, frayed very high indeed, because the effective remaining inseam had to have been less than 3/4 of an inch. Above the shorts was another sweatshirt, mid-blue, with nothing written on it. She said,
"I don't want you looking for my husband."
"Why not?"
"Because I don't want you to find him."
"Why not?"
"It's obvious."
"Not to me."
"I'd like you to leave me alone now."
"You were worried about him yesterday. Today you're not."
She stepped forward into the light, just a pace, and glanced left and right beyond Reacher's shoulders. The motel's lot was empty. Nothing there, except Vaughn's old truck parked at Reacher's door. Lucy Anderson's sweatshirt was the same color as her eyes, and her eyes were full of panic. "Just leave us alone," she said, and stepped back into her room and closed the door. Reacher sat a spell in Vaughn's truck with a map from her door pocket. The sun was out again, and the cab was warm. In Reacher's experience, cars were always either warm or cold, like a primitive calendar. Either it was summer or winter. Either the sun came through the glass and the metal, or it didn't. The map confirmed what Vaughn had told him. He was going to have to drive a huge, three-and-a-half-sided rectangle, first east, almost all the way back to the Kansas line, then north to I-70, then west again, then south on the same highway spur the metal trucks used. Total distance, close to 200 miles. Total time, close to 4 hours. Plus 4 hours and 200 miles back, if he obeyed Vaughn's injunction to keep her truck off Despair's roads, which he planned to. Probably. He pulled out of the lot and headed east, retracing the route he had come in on with the old guy in the Grand Marquis. The mid-morning sun was low on his right. The old truck's battered exhaust was leaking fumes, so he kept the windows cracked. No electric winders, just old-fashioned handles, which he preferred for the precision they permitted. He had the left window down less than an inch, and the right window half as much. At a steady 60, the wind whistled in and sounded a mellifluous, high-pitched chord, underpinned by the bass growl of a bad bearing and the tenor burble of the tired old motor. The truck was a pleasant traveling companion on the state roads. On I-70 it was less pleasant. Passing semis blew it all over the place. The geometry was out, and it had no stability. Reacher's wrists ached after the first 10 highway miles from holding it steady. He stopped once for gas and once for coffee, and both times he was happy to get a break. The spur came off I-70, west of Despair, and petered out into a heavy-duty county two-lane within 30 miles. Reacher recognized it. It was the same piece of road he had observed leaving the plant at the other end. Same sturdy construction, same width, same coarse blacktop, same sand shoulders. Exactly 4 hours after leaving the motel, he slowed and coasted and crossed the rumble strip and came to a stop with two wheels in the sand. Traffic was light, limited to trucks of all types heading in and out of the recycling plant 20 miles ahead. They were mostly flatbed semis, but with some container trucks and box vans mixed in. Plates were mostly from Colorado and its adjacent states, but there were some from California and Washington and New Jersey and some from Canada. They blew past, and their bow waves rocked the old truck on its suspension. Despair itself was invisible in the far distance, except for the hint of a smudge on the horizon and a thin pall of smog hanging motionless in the air. 5 miles closer, but still 15 miles away, was the group of low, gray buildings Reacher had seen before, now on his right, a tiny, indistinct blur. A gas station, maybe, or a motel, or both. Maybe a full-blown truck stop with a restaurant. Maybe it was the kind of place he could get a high-calorie meal. Maybe it was the kind of place Lucy Anderson's husband and the unidentified dead guy might have gotten a high-calorie meal on their way into Despair. In the case of the unidentified dead guy, at least, maybe his last meal ever. Maybe someone would remember them. Maybe the place was outside Despair's city limit. Maybe it wasn't. Reacher checked his mirror and put the truck in gear and bumped his right-hand wheels back onto the road and headed for the horizon. 12 minutes later, he stopped again, just short of a pole that held a small green sign that said, "Entering Despair, population 2,691. 100 yards the wrong side of the line was the group of low buildings. They weren't gray. That had been a trick of light and haze and distance. They were olive green. Not a gas station, not a motel, no kind of a truck stop.